This week, we're celebrating tourney time with game-winning deals at Target. Catch every play on a new TCL TV or dunk an easy halftime snack with a digital air fryer. It's tourney time at Target, where low prices and great deals make it easy to save. Restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Shooting the Sports-ish NFL Recap-ish Week 6. This is Tom. I am joined side Teddy each and every week. And Teddy, Week 6 in the NFL gave us some pretty crazy things that were probably peak 2020. What were some of your big takeaways coming out of this crazy NFL week?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, Tom. You know, I, as I mentioned, you know, in the kind of the pre-show meeting, you know, I usually have a jersey up. I'm usually wearing a jersey. I'm in high spirits, ready to go. And it's not just because the Panthers lost. You know, it's just we recap this stuff every week. And yet again, we have another 2020 where it's like, what in the world is happening? You know, the results, they're crazy. Even if you go through and you just see the winners, the point spread they won by makes no sense.
Yep.
It's just, it's a very strange season, and that continued this week.
In one of the games that we're starting off with on something that I wouldn't have bet with a 50-foot pole, and I wouldn't have bet with that same 55-foot pole if you gave me Tampa Bay and I'll even say up to 8.5 points. Packers at Tampa Bay. Green Bay 10. Tampa 38. Each and every year, it seems Tom Brady has the one game, usually around this time, week 5, week 6, week 7, where he turns up that middle finger to the rest of the NFL and says, hey, I'm still here, and I'm back. And Tampa got it done very, very differently today. They're extremely versatile. They used every weapon they had. Ronald Jones, 113 on the ground, 2 TDs. More impressively, though, might have been the bad stat line, which would have been Aaron Rodgers, 16 of 35, 2 picks, a QBR of 17.8. Tom Brady may live rent-free in Aaron Rodgers' head at this point in his career. Teddy, how surprising was this game and just how dominant Tampa was over Green Bay?
You know, I think it was really surprising, especially when, you know, just from the beginning of the game, you know, when Aaron Rodgers came out through probably – I think it was the third pick six of his career.
Yep.
So that probably messed with him mentally. And then he threw another pick in the same quarter. So they were just behind the eight ball quick. Tampa took advantage. Even if you look at the point spread by quarter, right? Green Bay, 10 points in the first, scoreless rest of the game. Tampa Bay came out, punched him in the mouth, 28, scored 4 touchdowns in the second quarter. That game was done at half.
It sure was. I mean, again, as we mentioned before, Tim Boyle played in this football game. Blaine yes. Gabbert played in this football game. No more, no less. I just feel really bad whoever plays the Packers next week, and we'll move forward and talk about that later.
We will.
The next WTF game is when you kick 6 field goals in one game to win 18-12 as the Denver Broncos beat the New England Patriots 18-12. Off of all field goals. Cam Newton had some legs tonight, had some turnovers. This New England Patriots team now coming off the extra rest, however, is 2-3. They're in a lot of trouble, I feel. Teddy, biggest takeaways in this game, minus Philip Lindsay's 101 on the ground, and thankfully Denver had him today.
I think the biggest takeaways is that if you look at just the New England side of the ball, right? QBRs, everything. Obviously, there's a lot of different things to kind of talk about there. Julian Edelman, 2 for 2, 38 yards, actually had the highest QBR for the Patriots. The number one rusher for the Patriots was Cam Newton, and the number one receiver for the Patriots was running back James White. Everyone kind of got confused on what their role was, it seems. And so, you know, obviously you like to see Cam getting it done on the ground, but he just didn't have it through the air today. And, you know, the Broncos kind of escaped with one here in my mind.
I would definitely agree with that. Very surprising score, especially the extra rest New England got. Speaking of surprising, we have the Chicago Bears visiting the Carolina Panthers. Bears win 23-16. Teddy's going to touch on Carolina in a second. Chicago may be the worst 5-1 football team I've ever witnessed with my own two eyes. Somehow, some way they keep getting it done, however. And I really haven't figured out how yet. On the flip side, Carolina, just not enough power back there, missing Christian McCaffrey so much. Teddy, walk us through Carolina, where they're at right now as a team, 3-3.
You know, honestly, with the Panthers kind of where they're at, I think Teddy Bridgewater is still doing a very good job. It doesn't show it on the stat line, obviously, 216, no touchdowns, two picks. One of the picks was on the first drive of the game for the Panthers. We were kind of backed in our end zone. He threw the pick, gave the Bears great field position. They scored a touchdown and kind of made the most of the opportunity. And I think that really kind of captures the game in the sense that Panthers kind of stayed in it. They stayed in it, but we weren't able to capitalize on all the opportunities we were given late game, right? And so, you know, I think that with Christian McCaffrey coming back, hopefully by week 8 is when they're kind of aiming to have him back from his injury. Hopefully they can kind of turn it around, make some noise in the NFC South. But I think on the flip side of this is, like, the Panthers didn't play very well, and the Bears won by 7. You know, yep. So it's like, I don't, for a 5-1 team, I know your opinions on this team. They're not really kind of blowing you out of the water, impressing you as a 5-1 team.
No, I think Green Bay has won this division a long time ago.
Fair enough.
Records aside. Moving on to our next game of the week, we have the Cleveland Browns showing who they really are as they visit the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in a game in which Baker Mayfield should have never started, he has a 5.4 quarterback rating in this game. For those of you wondering, Case Keenum had 6 times the rating that Baker did. It was a game he went in hurt, probably shouldn't have played, definitely shouldn't have played when they went down 24-7 at the half. This was a game where Pittsburgh put on their big boy pants and do what they do, 129 on the ground, and pass the ball out to all of their wide receivers. Looking at this game, Teddy, it was very methodical what Pittsburgh did to Cleveland. Pittsburgh, however, with a big loss, is now Devin Bush is out for the remainder of the season with a torn ACL. Teddy, did Pittsburgh scoring 38 surprise you, or did Cleveland just look that bad surprise you?
You know, like, I think that it's obvious why Baker Mayfield played, right? Obviously, hindsight being 2020, we have a little more clarity here. We know, you know, we know how the game turned out and everything. But, I mean, even if, like, he was kind of dealing with the injury from the rib injury he had from the playing the Colts last week, and even from the jump, you know, in pregame warmups, he was saying that he didn't look as great as he, you know, usually does. They were saying that, you know, he looked a little scared to kind of take a hit. Not like a knock on him, obviously, but that kind of the mentality, I think, for him was thrown off the entire game, and that showed. The Steelers were able to capitalize. They got some extra guys involved. So I think it was actually a little bit surprising to me that this game wasn't close, you know, because coming into today, 4-0 versus 4-1, right? So, you know, divisional opponents should be very, you know, big rivalry here. Coming away 38-7, I think was a much bigger surprise. I think between Baker getting hurt and that early Minkah Fitzpatrick pick 6, the Steelers had this one very early.
I agree. I was very surprised by the amount of points Pittsburgh was able to put up in a rivalry game and in two teams that, you know, only had the loss at the time. Equally surprising would be our next game. And I'm going to read you a quote from our next game before we get into it. This quote comes from Jacksonville Jaguars starting quarterback, Gardner Minshew. And I quote, "They're a very good defense and very well coached. That's one thing that stands out," end quote. For those of you maybe listening to this Shooting the Sports Edge NFL recap show with myself, Tom, and Teddy, and you go down and click the like and subscribe button, I've never said that in my entire life about the Detroit Lions. "Very well coached" would be not a way I would describe the rocket scientist himself, Matt Patricia. Detroit got this W because they came off a bye week. Matt Patricia was playing for his job. Jacksonville is not good. This should not have been a surprise. You want to see DeAndre Swift on the ground getting 116 and 2 touchdowns on that Jacksonville run defense? Yeah, that was a little surprising. Matt Stafford wasn't amazing. 223, 1 pick, 1 interception. Gardner does what he does, usually gets around 250 and 1-1. not going to win very many games that way. Teddy Cole had a great game receiving. No doubt about that for Jacksonville. 143 yards, right? Shark had a great game, too, for the amount of receptions he had. Am I overreacting from a Jaguars side that Gardner may get one of his two wide receivers killed the way he throw balls right to the middle of the field blindly to them?
Yeah, you know, there you go. That sums up Gardner Minshew, just that stuttering, you know, kind of where to go with him, right? I think there's times that he flashed his sprinkling of talent, but overall, like, it's just not there. And, like, the throws that he's making, as you mentioned, he had 19 incompletions. But even the completions that he kind of let up for his receivers, they're getting smoked. You know, like, over time, that's not going to turn out well. You know, I feel like every week they're coming in questionable. And I don't even know that it's, like, stuff they're doing wrong. It's just that he's kind of setting them up. Like, I don't think he likes his receivers. You know, like, it's like he's got a vendetta against them.
The Lions held Jacksonville to 44 yards on the ground. The Lions are one of the worst defensive rushing teams in the league defensively. Just an awful performance by the Jaguars, and the Lions played football today. I can't even give them more credit than that. They beat a team they should have beat, and I'll leave it there. Moving on to teams that I didn't know they had this in them. We have the Atlanta Falcons visiting the Minnesota Vikings. Matt Ryan remembers he can do things, and Kirk Cousins remembers that he can't do things. Matt Ryan, 30 of 40, 371, 4 touchdowns. Julio Jones returned to life, and it's great to see him again. 137 and 2 touchdowns. On the other side of the ball, you have Kirk Cousins, probably the reason that the Minnesota Vikings wound up last in this division. 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. Does what he does, which isn't much. With Dalvin Cook not on that football team this week, they had 32 rushing yards. You're not going to beat very many NFL teams with 32 rushing yards. Teddy, what was more surprising you, that Atlanta put up 40 or that Minnesota looked that bad?
You know, I think that it's Minnesota looked that bad. You know, obviously you don't want to say like one guy changes a whole team's performance, identity, or anything, but like the missing of Dalvin Cook, everybody was expecting Alexander Mattison to just slide in and go 10 for 26 on the ground. Obviously, this one wasn't necessarily on him. They had 6 drives in the first half. 3 of them ended in picks by Kirk. 3 of them were, I'm pretty sure, 3-and-out punts. If not, they were just punts. So, I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, all that. But, you know, it's very tough to kind of see this Minnesota team come out with a great matchup today, even missing Dalvin. They figured it out in the second half. So, I don't know what was said during halftime. They actually made it look like they remembered how to football. But at the end of the day, Atlanta just came out and punched him in the mouth. Mainly Julio Jones.
They sure did. And speaking of punching people right in their mouth, the Houston Texans visiting not America's team, the Tennessee Titans. And if you would have had 77.5 as your over-under in this game and you took the over, you were a big winner. As there was 78 points scored in this game. As unfortunately, the Tennessee Titans decided to come back in this one, in which no one wanted to see, scoring 21 points late. Ryan Tannehill, 30 of 41, 364 yards, 4 TDs and a pick. Deshaun Watson in the air, 28 of 37, 335, 4 touchdowns, one of Deshaun's better games through the air, even though the rushing was not productive. Biggest takeaway from this one for me, Mr. Derrick Henry. 268 yards of total offense and 2 TDs. Derrick Henry looks like a man playing against college players at certain points. Teddy, what went right or wrong here for either team to amount to the scoring that we got?
You know, I think it's basically just like everything went right for the Titans and the Texans just kind of started off slow. You know, it's like there was a lot of kind of back and forth in this game. Tennessee getting up early, Texans kind of clawing their way back in. But as you mentioned, Derrick Henry kind of put the team on his back. You know, even if, I mean, obviously the 94-yard touchdown definitely helped. But, you know, kind
they
of
– They usually do.
Yeah, you know, it's, it's amazing how those things can kind of, you know, jumpstart
your team. I haven't seen one of those, the Lions fan, in a long time. So I'm
Do you know what those are?
No.
Yeah. But, you know, I think Deshaun Watson, the positive here is, and like I said, it's not going to be that big of a positive because he did start off slow. The positive here is that he still threw four touchdowns, no interceptions, right? He looked more like himself coming probably after probably second quarter and on, right? It's looking more like himself. Wasn't good enough to get it done at the Titans. And I think there's some questionable play calling here. But other than that, you know, I think that, you know, there's still a lot of hope out of Houston. Well, I won't say a lot. There's some hope out of Houston that Deshaun Watson looked better. But I think Ryan Tannehill just needs more credit. You know, it's just like he gets it, you know, from the job that he did kind of taking over the team, you know, getting him to the playoffs last season and kind of what he's doing now. But every time you talk about this Tennessee Titans team, Derrick Henry comes up. You know, and obviously America hates the Titans because of COVID. But Ryan Tannehill is doing a great job. 364 yards. He did have the one pick. But at the end of the day, four touchdowns, and they got the win in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to go around it. I mean, that's he got the job done. Who knows how long Tennessee will have without another couple bye weeks in a row. But they got the job done. And it is what it is. The Baltimore Ravens visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. Baltimore gets out in a hurry, and then they just stop playing football. They let the Eagles get back into this one. Final 30-28. Baltimore did everything they could to make sure you did not win that game in your pick'em. Teddy, I don't have a ton to talk about in this football game, just because, truthfully, I didn't care that much. I thought Baltimore should wipe the floor with them, and they took it easy. Your thoughts on this one?
I think the thoughts that we need to kind of analyze here is not – is obviously, takeaway from the game, Baltimore should have put them away much better, you know, much later. Or much earlier, rather. And they didn't really. They kind of took their foot off the gas. Philadelphia scored 22 in the fourth. But what was your take on the two-point conversion call that they had – after they scored that very late touchdown, the Eagles, you know, with kind of like the option that they drew up between Wentz, like with Wentz and the running back.
There was two questionable two-point conversions this week for me. One that cost Tennessee a football game because Romeo Crennel went for two instead of just kicking his point and moving on, which was still baffling to me. And then there's this call in particular. I've thought more and more about it. I just think they were out of weapons at that point. Miles Sanders is already hurt. Unless they're doing an end around, Zach Ertz was already hurt. Who do you really trust at that point besides Wentz to throw the ball to or get it to? Yes, it was not a play call I would have called, but looking back at it now based on who we know is hurt, it was a struggle, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I think like – when you're kind of looking at this game, I think we talked about last week that kind of a concern was them not using Lamar on the ground against weaker opponents. Didn't really have that today. He definitely improved on his 2 carry for 3 yards. But, you know, past that, I do think a concern is Mark Andrews going forward. You know, only 2 catches for 21, and he's arguably – obviously Marquise Brown has the speed, but I think as far as reliability, he's probably the most reliable pass catcher in your offense. You have to figure out a way to get him more involved.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Moving on to our next game, we have the Washington football team losing to the New York Giants 19-20. We now have 2-1-5 football teams. Teddy, anything else in this game besides that both teams are now 1-5?
Daniel Jones led this game in rushing yards, and I hate it.
Yeah, Daniel Jones did lead this game in rushing yards. We're going to move right on now. Yep, yep. On to another team in New York that's terrible. We have the 0-5 New York Jets visiting those Miami of the Dolphins.
Week. Yeah.
The Dolphins, 2 weeks in a row now, show up to play football as they spank the Jets' ass all over Miami, dropping 24 points on them. The Jets have a giant goose egg and pretty much did nothing across the board in this game. Ryan Fitzpatrick for Miami, 28 of 27 for 191, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, More importantly in this game, though, was the fact that Miami's defense pretty much kept the Jets anywhere north of the 20-yard line. Teddy, looking at this game, are the Jets one of the worst now 0-6 football teams you've ever seen?
Oh, hands down. You know, and like, obviously, you got the injury of Sam Darnold. I really don't want to hear it. He wasn't lighting up the score. I don't think so. You know, I don't think that they would do much better.
Let's just say he's a little bit better than Joe Flacco, okay? Giving him more credit than he may even deserve, right?
Right.
Joe went 21 of 44 for an 11.1 QBR today. So if you're telling me Sam's going to come in there and go 25 of 44 for an 18.4 QB rating, cool. You're still not winning football games.
No, not at all. And like, I think, obviously, before Jets fans, if any of them listen or even exist anymore, comment angrily on the video. Trust me, we know that Sam Darnold put your team in a better position than Joe Flacco. We get it. But then again, Le'Veon Bell put your team in a better position than Frank Gore. So,
you know, team Le'Veon Bell is putting in a great position. The Kansas City Chiefs.
His new team. Yeah, everybody was talking about what teams needed great running backs, you know, and like who needs a new running back. It's like the Jets, you know. So it was crazy how much they needed a running back after they cut Le'Veon Bell. But yeah, this game, you know, Dolphins need to do what needed to be done. I think Fitzpatrick's still playing well enough that Tua doesn't need to be starting. I think this is actually not at all how the season was planning on going for Miami Dolphins fans. But I mean, 3-3 in the East. I don't think you're that upset.
Yeah. Moving on to our next game of the week, we have the Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Indianapolis Colts. And in last week's show here on Shooting the Sports-ish, please click like and subscribe below. Our friend Teddy gave you this hot take. Phil Rivers is done. It's over. Again, I didn't discredit Teddy's take at the time, but since he is the author, publisher, and editor of his take, Teddy, Phil Rivers, 29 of 44 for 3 TDs today, leading the Indianapolis Colts over the Bengals 31-27. Hey, Teddy, is Phil done?
No, he's not done. He's done now because the game's over, but yeah, no. I mean, obviously the Bengals, I could not have tell you how many people I texted when the Bengals were up 21-0, 3 different rushing touchdowns from 3 different people. I was just like, the Bengals are going to beat the Colts. Rejoice. This is amazing. Colts fans, you know, it was great. And then Phillip Rivers, I don't think he drinks, but if he did, he'd say, hold my beer, right? And so, you know, he literally just shoved it in my face, you know? And, you know, you're looking at this team. Obviously, you have the Titans in the AFC South, but I think the Colts, theoretically, have a decent shot now with how good their defense is at the wild card. And so they may be a playoff-bound team, which sucks for me. But, you know, I got to give credit where it's due. Phillip Rivers came out and did what he had to do for this game because it sure didn't happen on the ground for the, you know, for the Colts today.
No, and you look at it, too, now. So the Colts are now 4-2, and not that it matters, 3-0 at home. But this was a huge win for them long term, setting themselves up for later, too.
I agree.
Teddy, we're going to hit a couple games just from personal curiosity for next week and let all the fans get out of here. Week 7 next week, we have a game that I love. And for those out there that may or may not like to play the ponies, or if you're just betting for your entertainment purposes, that's fine, too. The Detroit Lions travel to the Atlanta Falcons. Depending on where you shop, you're going to get the Atlanta Falcons +3.5 to +5. You should take all of that, and you should take the Atlanta Falcons. Detroit on normal rest. Detroit coming off this big win. A win they had to have, or they would have fired their head coach. They will not do the same thing next week. Matt Ryan is going to scorch the Lions like it's 5 years ago. Julio Jones is going to look like he's 22 again. Kelvin Ridley's going to go off. And hell, Todd Gurley may look like he has a Rams jersey on at this point. I like the Falcons a lot next week, Teddy, versus the Lions.
I agree. You know, obviously you have your, you know, your biases towards your own team, but negatively, I guess. But yes, I think that the Falcons do get their second win of the season at home next week. I think at this point, Julio Jones is proven it. And I don't know if he and AJ Green are in a group text saying, hey, let's do as well as we can to get traded. But, you know, this is the time to do it.
Do they get moved before next week's game? Who knows? Because I have to assume that Julio is getting traded prior to week 8.
You would assume.
In a game where I already feel bad, like if this certain team could just mail in the L right now and take the week off, they might be better off. Because we have a very, very angry and upset Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he is. Just got scorched by Tom Brady. Visiting the Houston Texans and that daunted Texans defense. Teddy, the question isn't how many points Green Bay puts up on the Texans. The question is, will Aaron Rodgers play the second half of this football game being up 30-35 at that point?
So I do think he gets at least into the fourth with just how pissed off he is. The Aaron Rodgers revenge tour has been going full force this season, took a major, you know, detour today. And I think he's just going to, you know, refuel and come back angrier than ever. And so, you know, I think that, I think, as I mentioned, I would be surprised. But, you know, Deshaun Watson has 1,400 yards passing and 9 touchdowns on the season so far. I think that's a nice stat line to guess for Aaron Rodgers next week. I think he is going to put up video game numbers. I think he is going to come out with a fury that we have not seen in a long time from him.
Did you, everyone, hear that? Teddy's take for next week is that Aaron Rodgers is going to put up 8 touchdowns versus the Texans. Take your pink slips, take your mortgage payments to the bank. Teddy's hot take of the week. Those 8 touchdowns for Aaron next week.
I don't want to.
Moving on, what may be my personal game of the week, I have the Seattle Seahawks visiting the Arizona Cardinals. And you ask why this game may be a game of the week for me. I'm very high in the Cardinals. I'm very high in Kyler Murray. I also think in Seattle that Russell Wilson's probably playing some of his best football of his career and has plenty of weapons around him. Teddy, Seattle, however, is 5-0. They're a tad bit outclassing at this point. The Arizona Cardinals are 3-2. Could you see Arizona pulling off an upset in this game?
So, I mean, I could, just because we saw a little bit of a chink in the armor when they played when the Seahawks played their game last week. They obviously are on bye this week. So I could see it happen. It wouldn't shock me. Like, I wouldn't come in here next week and be like, oh my God, I cannot believe the Cardinals won. Right. But I still think with a week to prepare, everyone's going to be healthy. I think the Seahawks are going to come out and kind of show out next week. So, unfortunately for the Cardinals, I don't think they win. The line I see currently is Seahawks -3. I actually feel pretty good taking that.
Yeah, I probably would too. I do think Seattle's going to win, but it should be a very entertaining and competitive football game. Speaking of competitive, next week, we have two of the undefeateds battling out against each other. The Steelers travel to not America's team, the Tennessee Titans. Please stay safe, Steelers. 2-5-0 is here. I'm going to go with the Steelers in this game. And I would feel more comfortable taking the Steelers had Devin Bush not got hurt, because I do think Derrick Henry may run all over that secondary once he gets past the linebackers. However, I think Pittsburgh has the bodies and the size that don't match up well great against Tennessee defensively. And I think they can get it done. What do you think on that game, Teddy?
I agree. You know, I think that at this point, with the way the season is going, you know, with the injury to Dak Prescott, I think, you know, the Cowboys may be fading away from America's team, and now America's team is just whoever's playing the Titans. You know, just with the kind of recent coming out that they're not really going to punish the, you know, Titans at all. So I think at this point, everyone just wants to see the comeuppance of whoever they're playing, just punch them in the mouth. So hopefully the Steelers do go into Nashville next week and do that. I know they are a 1.5-point favorite. Give me that. And also, you know, go Steelers, please. Please punch them in the mouth.
A game that I will not be watching next week at all, the Jacksonville Jaguars are visiting the Los Angeles Chargers in a battle of 1-5 and 1-4. I don't care. Moving on. We have another
The only thing
game.
I do care about, yeah, which I brought this up to you, is the current line that I have eyes on is Chargers -8.5, which is, I think, ludicrous, but
insane.
It shows how bad the Jags are.
Yes. Vegas sat there and said, you let the Lions drop 34 on that ass? Yeah, you can give the other team 10 points at this point.
Yep.
In our Monday night slate next week, we have a battle of 2-1 loss teams. We have the 5-1 Bears visiting the Los Angeles Rams, who are 4-1. Teddy, the worst part of this game is someone is going to leave this football game as a one-loss football team. And these are two not very good one-loss football teams. Give me the Rams, and the Rams going to 5-1 is just kind of weird to say. Teddy?
You know, I agree. I think that the Rams should come out with that one. Now, the caveat with them being both being one-loss teams is that the Rams are currently playing right now, breaking the fourth wall. They are currently down 14-6 at the two-minute warning of the first half to the San Francisco 49ers. But I get your point. Even if the Rams go into that game 4-2, give me the Rams. The Bears, at some point, their luck's going to run out.
Absolutely. What are our biggest takeaways from week 6? For me, it was a lot of the odd scores that we saw, and even those real good teams not covering spreads or flat out just falling apart towards the end of football games. But I have to say this. I think that my biggest wow would be Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. And I have to now start questioning, is Tom poised to make another run right now and start going on a roll like he usually does this time every season? And now are all those pieces with the Bucs really starting to fall into place? We talked about earlier, he didn't need Evans. He didn't need to use him the way he did before. He didn't need to use his other wide receivers the way he did before. He was able to incorporate Gronk. He didn't have O.J. Howard in this game. Didn't have Leonard Fournette in this football game. I just think eventually when Tom starts figuring out pieces to his team, it should be terrifying for other teams around the league.
You know, I agree. I think another big takeaway is just kind of the disparity between the teams, right? And, like, I feel like there's certain years that we just have teams that are hands down. And you look at them like, oh, my God, that team's playoff bound. They're going to, you know, just run people over. Essentially, it was basically the Ravens last year, right? When I kind of think back, it's like it didn't matter who they were playing. They're running over that team. And then this year, I don't know if it's just the 2020 mindset for COVID and everything, if, like, what might be affecting it, if it's, like, the lack of fans. But it just seems a lot of good teams are playing down and a lot of bad teams are playing worse, you know? So there's not really anybody running away with the league right now, even though we do still have some undefeated teams. But I think, like, the best teams are good. There's a lot of decent teams and there's just some terrible teams this year.
Yeah. I think when the mediocrity runs out by week 10 and you start to get a better definitive win-loss record on some of these football teams, we'll understand who they are. I just think it's very challenging right now if you're just looking at it from a win-loss standpoint.
I agree.
Thanks for stopping in to Shooting the Sports Issue this week with Tom and Teddy. Please click like and subscribe below. And until week 7, this is Tom, that is Teddy, and we will see you next week.
Your home is more connected than ever. So when one kid is schooling the competition,
got it.
The other is getting schooled.
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
And you're streaming a webinar for work and the latest episode of your favorite show at the same time. Shh, your Wi-Fi needs to be able to handle it. That's why Xfinity never stops working to bring you faster, more reliable Wi-Fi. So you can do it all at the same time. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Learn more at Xfinity.com.